This is Haystack Health Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Health Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Health Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Health Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Whatley, and we appreciate you being with us. Beautiful day out there in the Mile High City, and this is a special edition of Haystack Health Radio, and we call it Your Money Matters, brought to you by our good friends at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Their number is 720-895-0500, and with that, we will introduce the owner. We are practicing our social distancing, so Kurt is at his office. Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage. How are you, Kurt?
I'm fine, Scott. You know, you go outside, which is where I think everybody wants to be with these 70s, and it's like, okay, I need to get out and do something and let the sun work on my face.
No
it's
doubt.
Beautiful outside.
Yes, sir. It sure is. Well, I tell you a lot about the economy and, man, a lot of doom and gloom out there. But let's just take a couple of minutes here before we get to our guest today and talk a little bit about what's happening in the mortgage world.
Well, rates are – the funny thing about rates is, and we've talked about this lately, about when the Feds lower the Feds fund rate, everybody thinks it affects mortgages. It doesn't. It affects car loans and short-term loans. What the mortgages are determined by is the bond market. And right now, the bond market hasn't moved in over 30 days. I mean, it's within a tenth of a percent of where it was 30 days ago. But the rates have gone up. And it's actually not because of COVID-19. It's because there was so much business at the beginning of March that the lenders just couldn't handle it, so they raised the rate to slow it down. Well, now what's happened is because of the change in the market, the stock market, it's starting to affect certain loans that the investors are not willing to buy anymore. They're still going to buy conforming loans. That's anything from 5-10 and down. But the investors are saying we don't have a taste for what's called high balance loans or jumbo loans. Now, they're going to come back, and I think they'll come back about the same time this thing all starts to fade away. But right now, those are loans that are becoming very difficult to get. And there's also a little bit of a problem with some lenders on FHA. Some of the lenders are not wanting to do FHA because of the risk, and they can't sell them on Wall Street. So
gotcha.
We're seeing a little slowdown there. And I've talked to you about this before. Rates are going to come back down. They're going to come back down to under 3%. I hear that from every one of my investors. They're saying as this thing and the economy starts to pick up, those rates are going to come back down. So what we do for folks is we are sitting down and I have a list of people that I communicate with weekly as to where the rates are. And when they hit their target rate, whether it's 2.75 or 3%, depending on your loan, that's when we'll go ahead and lock it in and move forward. So if you're interested in doing that, you can kind of call. We can show you how that works.
Great. 720-895-0500 is the number. And once again, that is Affordable Interest Mortgage. Well, glad to have with us a member of our Haystack Help referral list and senior resource as well, our referral list there. And Blake Harris, he is with Mile High Estate Planning, and we are going to talk about that topic today. So, Blake, good to see you, sir.
Scott, it's good to be here with you today.
Man, I tell you what, it's beautiful out there. I wish we could just all do this from outside.
Yes, it is. If you have to be quarantined but get to go out for a walk with your pup, it's at least nice that it's out. It's nice that it's nice outside.
Absolutely. All right, Blake. For those that haven't heard you on our show before, and you've been on a couple of times, but tell us just a bit about yourself and a little bit about your firm.
Sure. So my name is Blake Harris. I'm the managing attorney at MileHighEstatePlanning.com, or our firm name pretty much describes exactly what we do. We service Colorado residents. We have two offices, one in downtown Denver next to Union Station, which we do have free parking for, and we have another office down in Colorado Springs. My firm, since I started it, has focused exclusively on one thing. That's helping families plan for and manage the transfer of their assets to the next generation, whether that's setting up a revocable living trust, a simple will, or they need help navigating the probate court. We are a fully comprehensive estate planning law firm.
Okay. Now, normally you do some great seminars for people, but right now those are on hold.
Yes, but if anyone is looking to learn about estate planning, I encourage them to go to my website. It is a mecca of information on anything you want to know about estate planning. We've got graphs, we've got charts, we've got articles, we've got videos you could watch for hours. MileHighEstatePlanning.com has got plenty of information that can teach you of everything you want to know about estate planning. If you want to call in for a consultation, we certainly do free initial consultations as well, but our website is a great source for all kinds of information on estate planning.
Right. What are some of the things when you meet with people and maybe they haven't really thought about an estate plan, but then you bring up something and they go, I didn't know that was part of estate planning.
So a very important part of estate planning is understanding the difference between a will and a trust. There's a common misconception that a will is necessary to avoid probate. Actually, a will is a ticket to the probate court. If you have a will, your family will need to go through probate. If you don't have anything, you'll still need to go through probate as well. With a will, you can at least choose who's going to receive your property through the probate court. What you want to do is make sure that if you have real estate and you're concerned about passing the most money to your beneficiaries, you probably want to look into creating a revocable living trust. A revocable living trust allows you to control your property while you're alive. It allows you to pass that property outside of probate. And I probably should take a moment to explain what probate is for those who don't know. Probate is the court-supervised process for distributing a loved one's property after they pass away. Now, probate in Colorado, it is not a quick process. Generally, I tell clients to expect probate to take about 1 to 2 years, and it can cost anywhere from $5,000 to $25,000 or more, depending on the size of the estate, the number of any beneficiaries, and whether a conflict arises among beneficiaries, heirs, and creditors. Which states are going to be contested? You don't know. Sometimes we think ones that won't be contested are contested, and sometimes when we expect a contest, there is no contest. When in doubt, always set up your estate to avoid probate. Now, there's two types of probate. There's death probate, which is what happens after you pass away, and you can create a revocable living trust and fund that trust, and you'll avoid probate after you pass away. But the other type of probate, which is even worse than death probate, is lifetime probate. Colorado does not have an alternative decision maker statute. Alternative decision maker statute says that if you become incapacitated while you're alive, you can't make your own financial or medical decisions. There'd be an automatic list of people who can make decisions on your behalf. We don't have that in Colorado, which means if you lose capacity, you need to go through the courts and have a court-supervised guardianship and conservatorship. I mentioned death probate can be $5,000 to $25,000. Lifetime probate can be three times that cost. It can be much more expensive because it requires each year that your conservator and guardian report information to the court. So when it comes to things you want to think about for an estate plan, certainly the revocable living trust is one aspect, but also creating a financial and medical power of attorney to avoid lifetime probate in the event of your incapacity.
Great. Kurt, go ahead, sir. I know you had a couple of questions for Blake.
Well, yeah, I'm listening to him, and you're talking about the difference between a will and a trust, and you're saying a will kind of lead you to probate.
Yes,
but trust will kind of not, and you're talking about an irrevocable trust, correct?
Any trust will avoid probate, whether it's a revocable trust or an irrevocable trust. Okay. A will will always be a ticket to the probate court. But whether you use a revocable trust, which is what 90% of estate plans are based around, a standard revocable trust, that will always avoid probate, as will an irrevocable trust.
And the purpose of that is to save that, like you said earlier, $75,000 in 18 months of going through probate.
Yes. There's two purposes to the revoke. Well, there's a few purposes. One is, yes, simply financial. It saves you the probate cost, but also it allows you to keep your financial affairs more private. You don't want the court knowing about every asset that you own. And also, it's an expedited process. A probate's going to take 1 to 2 years. A trust can be settled much, much quicker, in certain cases, a few weeks, a few days, a best case scenario, even maybe a few hours. A probate is going to take much longer than a trust will. So yes, financial part is a big benefit of the trust, but I don't think it's not the only benefit. In some cases, and this is not the best situation, but this happens often, the beginning of probate is the end of the relationship between the children. Having a trust, clear outlines for your plans where there's no room for anyone to fight, is going to not only preserve family assets, but will also preserve family harmony.
Okay, great. And I tell you, Kurt, man, we got a lot to go through here. But Blake,
yeah,
maybe just some general things with just some estate planning tips. that you have, and then we'll get into some of these specific things.
Sure. So I'm going to start with estate planning tip number one, which is do not leave your money to your children. And I often get a
My kids won't like that, so they'll just turn the radio off.
Well, actually, don't turn off the radio just yet, Kurt's children, because it gets better. The reason why is your children, they can lose the money. They could get sued. They could get divorced. Instead of leaving your money to your children, leave it to a trust. A trust will never cause a car accident. A trust can't get divorced, but a trust can protect the money for your children in the event your children get divorced, in the event your children have to declare bankruptcy, or they get sued, or they have a business that fails, or they have a medical expense, a very expensive medical procedure, or they have too much student debt. So give your children the benefit of all the money, but don't give it directly to them. That way they can continue to enjoy it for their life. If their spouse ever files for divorce, they get to keep the money. And then when your children pass away, instead of your child's spouse taking the money goes to your own grandchildren. Love your in-laws, but keep the money in the bloodline.
Well, that makes sense. Okay, I get that one.
Absolutely. Number two.
Estate planning tip number two, plan for disability. I spoke about this a few minutes ago in terms of incapacity planning. Yes, you want to have a financial and power of attorney in the event of your incapacity. The majority of us will be incapacitated at some point in our life. Actually, you are 10 times more likely to become incapacitated in the next year than you are to pass away. So in addition to the will and the trust, you also want to take care of your incapacity planning. However, when I say plan for disability, not only your own disability, include in your trust special needs provisions in case one of your family members if a family member is disabled or in case they later become disabled. I speak to many clients who say, I don't have any disabled family members. Do I need a special needs trust? And I say, you don't. Not yet. However, having a standby special needs trust included inside of your revocable living trust is going to make all the difference in the world in the event that you have a child or grandchild who later gets injured, disabled, has autism. With this, the child can receive all the benefits of the money, yet still get benefits from the government. Without the special needs provisions inside of your trust, the child would be forced to spend down their entire inheritance down to around $2,000 before they can continue to receive any government benefits. So estate planning tip number two, plan for disability.
All right.
See, now that's something I would have never thought about.
Yes,
sir. You know, maybe for my own, but not for something to happen to one of my children or grandchildren.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Sure. And, you know, I know this is in Blake's points here, but I'm going to tell you, this is exactly why you don't want to just print out a form and try to fill in some blanks, because we're in this do-it-yourself society. Blake, you got to have somebody that does this day in and day out and does it to the length that you do.
And that brings me to estate planning tip number three, which is speak with a professional. Nowadays, there's a variety of online and do-it-yourself resources available for creating an estate plan. However, I can tell you I've spoken with far too many families that have had to spend thousands or tens of thousands of dollars cleaning up a mess that their parents made, which could have easily been avoided had the parents just taken the time to speak with someone who creates and administers estate plans every single day. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure, and that is certainly true when it comes to estate planning.
Absolutely. Blake.
Well, when you're talking about your estate and all that money, while it may sound good when you read through it, because I initially looked at that before I hired somebody, and I'm like, well, yeah, this kind of sounds simple, but once I talked to a professional, it was amazing how much trouble I could have got in if I'd have continued going forward.
Sure, and most professionals, most estate planning attorneys will meet with you for a free consultation, and will explain the value and the benefits that comes with working with an estate planning law firm versus just printing something off the internet.
Absolutely. Yeah. Blake Harris is our guest, milehighestateplanning.com. Go there, folks, as he mentioned, and I will second that. He has a great website, a ton of information, free consultation. All you have to do is call 720-924-6171. That's 720-924-6171. We got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more with Blake Harris. Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DNDTireService.com.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever, and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important. Your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Hi, this is Scott Whatley for Stack Optical. Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their Denver patients for over 50 years. And as a family-owned business, trust me when I say they have seen hard times before. And no doubt the days we are living in are very difficult for us all. But owner Alan Stack and his wife Marilyn want you to know they are here for you. If you need an eye exam, new glasses, or even repair to your glasses, Stack Optical is ready to help. Call to schedule your private appointment today and rest assured every step has been taken to ensure your safety and health at Stack Optical. I've trusted my eye care to them for many years, and you can too. So if it's time for your eye exam or that new pair of glasses, call them today, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578, or check them out at StackOptical.com. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Whatley. This is a special edition of Haystack Help, and we call it Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt Rogers with us as well. Our special guest today, Blake Harris, and Blake is on our referral list at haystackhelp.com. But folks, go to his website, milehighestateplanning.com. 720-924-6171 is his number for a free consultation. And I tell you what, I mean, a lot of things have changed in a lot of people's lives in 90 days, and some in just the last few weeks. So you can absolutely see something that none of us really want to think about or that we tend to put off is an estate plan. And Blake, I can't imagine right now all the families that are in not only a huge grief period, but also in the throes of probate or just wondering what to do because there was no plan.
Sure. I'm actually seeing quite an uptick in my business. I think that the recent pandemic has brought a lot of people's attention to needing to take care of these very important issues. My firm has never been busier than we are right now. A lot of families are making moves to whether to create a simple will or actually get ahead and create a revocable living trust, which more so than ever I think is important to do because as the probate courts get backlogged, whereas we may see the expenses that the cost of probate go up, we may see the time that it takes to probate an estate increase. I think more so than ever now it makes sense to really step up and put together your estate plan.
Right. Kurt, I know you had some questions on kind of the wills versus trust.
Yeah,
we touched on that a minute, but go through a few of your questions.
Yeah. When you start to research this, you know, and this is from my own experience, I always kicked the can down the road and not really understood the difference between a will and a trust. You've kind of outlined that. But why do you think it is that most people put off doing that document until they get later on in life?
So I have a confession and a quick story to tell. My children are 7 years old, boy girl twins, best of friends. I'm very, very blessed. When they were born, I was working for another estate planning law firm. Shortly after they were born was when I started milehighestateplanning.com. When my children were born, I knew that I needed to put together a will and a trust for the two of them. I knew this more than anyone else. I was an estate planning attorney. It wasn't until the children were almost 2 years old that I actually got my act together and put together my own estate plan. It's like the roofer that goes around, fixes everyone else's roof, and comes home to a leaky roof. So I certainly understand that. I certainly can relate with anybody who has been putting it off. However, it's about peace of mind. The sooner that you have it done, you have the peace of mind, and it's done. A lot of people fear that it's going to be a very daunting task, and I ask just about every client after they sign their estate plan, have you been putting this off for a while? And pretty much every client, whether their children are 6 months old or 65 years old, they say, yes, we've been putting off for some time. And then I say to them, well, I hope I made this process painless for you. And there's this sigh of relief, like, yes, this was a lot easier than I anticipated. Over and over, I have clients tell me that this process was a lot more enjoyable, a lot easier, and a lot quicker than they expected it to be. And we price very competitively. This is the only area of law we've gotten it down to a system where we can do it very quickly, very effectively, and accurately. However, when I start talking about happy clients, I tend to say, don't take my word for it. Go online and read our reviews. We have over 50 Google reviews. Every single one right now is a 5-star review. You can go to Google Mile High Estate Planning. We should pop up first in Google, and you can read some of the reviews from past clients. It's not going to be painful. You're going to enjoy it. We've got beautiful office space, free parking next door, and you're going to get to work with an attorney that you're really going to like.
And you're very accurate there. I started mine. It took me over 4 years from the time I said, okay, I want to get one of these. And I started writing it down and going through the process. And that was only because I would procrastinate. But I'll tell you, once I got it, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm good. I felt such a relief knowing that if something was to happen, I knew how everything and everybody was going to be taken care of. And it was actually a whole lot less than I had anticipated. So it worked out very well for me.
Yep, it's very much about that peace of mind.
But are there times, and this is from what you said earlier about probate and wills and trust, are there times where a will is better for somebody than a trust?
So there are some attorneys who will steer every single client to a trust, and there are some attorneys who will steer every single client to a will. I am not one of those attorneys. That is not how we do business at Mile High Estate Planning. I believe there's a certain time when a will is appropriate, and I believe there's a certain time when there's a trust appropriate. Now, the question that I get often is, well, I have however much money, do I need a trust? Or the question comes in a different form, how much money should I have before I have a trust? And that's not actually the primary concern when we make a decision to recommend a will or a trust. While that is somewhat of a factor, the main concern is who your beneficiaries are. I had a couple in my office a few weeks ago that had somewhere between $5 and $10 million. They had no children, and they wanted to leave all their money to the Dumb Friends League, the Denver Dumb Friends League. For the two of them, even though they had millions of dollars, I recommended creating a simple will. Here's why. It saves their family some money, and then when they pass away, the charitable organization can pay the probate costs, and it'll be thousands of dollars, but it saves them some money up front. Now, on the other hand, if a couple came in and only had maybe $100,000, however, their beneficiaries were their own children, I would say, let's get the trust. It's going to cost a little bit more than the simple will. However, it's going to save your family more money in the long run. If you're passing your money to your children, it's kind of like keeping the money for yourself. It's keeping the money in the family. I say, generally, it makes sense to avoid probate and create that revocable living trust. So that's kind of the first thing to consider when I recommend a will or trust, who the beneficiaries are. If they are your own children or even your own family members, it's probably better to avoid probate. If you're giving your money away to charity, a simple will may be the right solution.
Yeah, see, when I have friends who have passed in their kids, which while they were very compatible when the parents were alive, they were not compatible after the parents were passed. There were things in the house that they started arguing over, and they kind of became enemies. So when I did mine, in a trust, so I would eliminate those issues and put them to the side. The way you don't get the right to make that choice.
Exactly.
I made it for you. I made it for them.
Reducing conflict, family harmony is a goal of our firm.
So, now, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Kurt.
In this process, you also talk about asset protection planning. How do you do that inside, whether it's a will or a trust?
Okay, so asset protection planning, the backbone of any asset protection plan is an asset protection trust. After you pass away, your revocable living trust converts into an asset protection trust, so your children will receive asset protection. But let's say that you are a business owner or you are a real estate owner, you have a couple of pieces or one rental property, or you just have a few $100,000 that you've worked hard for, and you want to make sure that nobody can sue you and take away that property. We live in the world's most litigious society. There are thousands of lawsuits filed every single day, millions filed every single year. The cost to defend a lawsuit can be hundreds of thousands of dollars, even if you are found not to be liable. We do not have a system where the loser pays, and you can bring a case on a contingency fee. So anyone can sue you for just about anything under the model rules, as long as you can argue for a reason to change the law. You can sue someone for just about anything. Doesn't cost them anything to sue you. If they lose, they don't have to pay your attorney bill. So if you have assets and you're serious about protecting them, you want to keep them for you and your family, in addition to creating the revocable trust, the will, the power of attorney documents, all the estate planning documents, I will recommend for my clients what I've created as I refer to it often as the Mile High Trust. It's an asset protection trust. It is the best structure that I've come across. I've spoken with lots and lots of asset protection attorneys all across the nation. I've learned about what they are doing, and I've pulled together what I consider to be the best asset protection trust available for clients. I've negotiated with foreign trust companies to help reduce fees for my clients. And what I can create is a trust that if clients get sued, the money inside of that trust cannot be taken away by a creditor or by someone suing our client. This gives our client an incredible deal of leverage in negotiating a settlement if they are ever sued. Say a client gets sued for $500,000. If all the money is in their own pocket or in a revocable trust, then the creditor could potentially come in and take all $500,000. If we've structured inside of the structures that I can create for my client, that I've created for my clients, we'll be able to negotiate that settlement down, and they may end up just having to pay pennies on the dollars. Or if it's not even a legitimate claim, we'll just tell a creditor to politely take a hike.
Wow.
That'll work.
We love telling creditors to take hikes sometimes. Right?
Exactly. Blake Karras is our guest. If you're just getting in the car, turn on your radio. Once again, the number to his office, folks, and again, free consultation. If this is something that you've been thinking about, but you've been delaying, that is a huge mistake. Don't do that. Call Blake. Hey, it's a free consultation, 720-924-6171, 720-924-6171. And his website, milehighestateplanning.com. And again, a great website, a lot of information right there. You can learn more about Blake. But again, we highly, highly, highly recommend him. He is the only estate planning attorney that we endorse and work with. And I promise you can trust him. Now, Blake, let's take our last couple of minutes of this segment and kind of talk about that incapacity planning, because you said earlier that is a real likely thing today. And you look at some of these folks that are, unfortunately, that have been hit with this virus. In just a couple of days, they're incapacitated, man. And if there was no plan there, that throws that family into more woes, right?
It is some scary stuff. If a client comes into my office and they're there to do their estate plan, put together their will, the trust, their financial medical power of attorney, I have an idea of how much it's going to cost that client. If they're in there because their family member did not create the will, the trust, the power of attorney document, and we're needing to go through a court-supervised process, I know that it's going to cost that family about twice as much as the family that is just there to do their planning. Without a financial or medical power of attorney, you're going to need to petition the court for a guardianship, as well as a conservatorship. These are two separate processes, which each one is going to take several months. Each one is going to cost thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. And these are some of the worst fought over cases, second only to guardianship for minor children. Guardianship of parents are some of the worst fought over cases. And having a financial and medical power of attorney on hand before a family member loses capacity can make the difference of night and day in terms of how that family member is cared for, how their assets are managed, and the level at which the court gets involved in your family's financial and personal affairs.
Right. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Blake. We're going to talk about some long-term care planning, as well as a few more tips on how to avoid probate, and then just some common mistakes. We'll be right back.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group, 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Len Lyle Chevrolet is considered an essential business, and they'll remain open for service, parts, and body work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and they're following all the CDC recommendations. Len Lyle Chevrolet wants you to stay safe and will resume sales soon.
Knowledge in Reverse is brought to you by Steve Hurley with Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Wondering if a reverse mortgage is the right decision for you? Get those questions answered. Getting the truth allows you to make the right decision. Let's schedule some time. Your home? Our office, or just for coffee? This type of mortgage is not for everyone. Call Steve at 303-885-0254, home of Knowledge in Reverse. That's 303-885-2054. Learn the truth. NMLS 243-200, regulated by DORA, equal opportunity lender.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and this special edition of Your Money Matters. Kurt Rogers with us from Affordable Interest Mortgage. But our special guest today, Blake Harris from MileHighEstatePlanning.com. Check out his website. And once again, if you just turn on your radio, get in the car, or get into your home office, maybe you're starting work a little late here after the lunch hour, give him a call, 720-924-6171. It is absolutely a free consultation. And he will get you taken care of and be able to answer your questions.
You had talked, Blake, earlier about disability, you know, in your trust. But what about long-term health care planning? How do you work? How does that fit into what you do?
Sure. So long-term care planning, it is something that more and more Americans are going to need. Kurt, I don't know if you were ready to be put on the spot, but how much do you think it costs for about a one-month stay in a nursing home in the Denver area?
See, I have an advantage that because I have somebody that I put on my show that helps people find those. But I'm thinking the average cost is going to be around $8,000.
You're spot on the money. The number that I usually quote is right around $7,700. So yeah. Yes, right around $8,000 a month.
Average.
To tell a quick story, my grandma, she grew up in the Great Depression. She never made a whole lot of money during her life, but she saved. She saved every penny she ever had. As she got older, she was reluctant to meet with attorneys. She never really liked attorneys much, even though her daughter was married to one. She ended up losing capacity in the last 18 months of her life. We saw several $100,000, pretty much her entire estate, get wiped out because of a nursing home cost. Had she just met with an attorney instead of spending all that money on nursing home cost, she could have used that money to pay for my law school. But I did learn something from it. I learned a lot from it. And there are things you can do to prevent the government from taking your home, taking the family home after you pass away. And that's what why I use for many clients who are the right fit, a Medicaid Protective Trust. What a Medicaid Protective Trust does is it allows the individual, the client, to transfer their home into the trust. And then when they then they need to wait 5 years, and then they can go and apply for Medicaid, and the government will pay for the cost of the nursing home under that situation. When the individual passes away, when the client passed away, instead of that home being recovered by Medicaid, the home then passes down to the children of the client. When we create this, these trusts, we build certain strings, certain pullbacks that allow our client to still control the money enough that if they ever need it for their own care, they ever want to ask for it back, they can. How do we do this? They still have the ability, a power that I would never want to take away from any of my clients, which I've never taken away from any of my clients, and that's the ability to disinherit a child. If you can remind a child that we can cut you out of this trust if you don't gift the money back to mom and dad, then that child will still ultimately use the money however the client would like. But then when the client passes away, the money still lands in the hands of the client's children. The ability to disinherit a child is something that I remind my own 7-year-olds frequently of.
You're still my child, but
yeah, exactly.
but you have to behave.
Yeah, you gotta behave.
Yes. Medicaid planning, Medicaid asset protection is a very, very helpful tool that I don't think nearly enough Americans take advantage of. And sadly, what happens often is I get the call, my mom's moving to the nursing home tomorrow. My dad's already lost capacity. What can we do? And when it gets too late in the game, I work with one of the top Medicaid planning attorneys in the state. There's still a few things you can do to mitigate damage, but planning ahead as soon as you turn 50, 60 years old, talking to an attorney about how to protect your home from a state, from a government-mandated spend down can be the difference between your children receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars and your children being left with nothing behind.
Great. So, Blake, what's an initial consultation look like with you?
Sure. So clients will contact us. They'll usually call or text us to schedule a consultation, or they'll fill out a contact us form online. You'll hear right back from a member of my team about scheduling a free initial consultation. We are exempt from the stay-at-home order, and if need be, we are available to meet clients in our office, whether in Denver or Colorado Springs. However, we are also available right now for FaceTime and Zoom calls. We can set up a video conference where during this consultation, I'll block off an hour of my time that usually doesn't take nearly that long. It usually takes more like 30, 40 minutes. And during the consultation, we're going to do three things. Number one, the first question I'm going to ask is, tell me about your family. And then during this time, I'm going to learn whether the client is married, the children that they have. Next, I'm going to ask about the assets. I want to know, do you own any real estate? Do you have any savings, whether that's retirement money, non-retirement money, life insurance? I'm going to ask all the questions to understand finances, your business. And then number three, my question is goals. What are your goals for your estate plan? What are your concerns? What is it that you'd like to see happen to your assets and your family after you lose capacity and after you pass away? Once I have that information, the assets, the family, and the goals, then I can recommend a plan for the client. We are very competitively priced. We have several different options. So regardless of your budget, we should be able to find a plan that fits your needs. And I don't, and here's a question that I get 10 times a day. Someone calls me from the internet and says, hey, Blake, heard you on Scott's radio show. How much does a trust cost? And my answer is, you don't want a trust, because a trust standing alone isn't going to do you much good if it's not funded, if you don't have the right people inside the trust, if you don't have ongoing guidance with the trust. I don't sell trust. What I sell are estate plans, whether it's a simple will-based estate plan, an revocable living trust-based estate plan, or some more involved asset protection or Medicaid estate plan. We sell estate plans. Nobody leaves our office with three wheels on a car. You're going to get a full, complete estate plan, whether you need the Rolls-Royce or a more simple plan. We offer a full plan, whether it's something simple, mid-sized, or very, very complex. And again, we're very competitive with all of our pricing.
Okay. I have a question for you about misconceptions and common mistakes people have about estate planners when they get started. What are they, you know, what do people do wrong? What are their misconceptions, why they don't come visit you, or that they believe this is how it works?
Sure. I already talked a little bit about how people think it's going to be a lot more daunting or complex, or there's going to be a lot more work for the client. We have a very simple intake form that it doesn't take more than 5 or 10 minutes to complete. But I do want to highlight a mistake that I see very often, and sometimes someone creates an estate plan with another law firm. Maybe it's a firm that doesn't specialize in wills, but they wrote one, or doesn't specialize in estate planning, but they still put together a trust. And something that happens very often that gets missed is funding. Funding of the trust. When you create a revocable living trust, it is imperative that you also fund that trust. Otherwise, your estate is going to end up back in probate. Most people have, I would say 95% of people have no more than 4 assets. The first one that everybody has is their tangible personal property, your clothing, your furniture, your jewelry. When you create a revocable living trust, you want to make sure that your attorney also prepares an assignment of personal property to the trust, saying that any personal property that you own or later acquire is assigned to the trust. That'll keep your personal property out of the probate court. Number two, when it comes to funding a trust, you also want to make sure that any financial account, bank account, life insurance policy, list the trust as either the owner or the beneficiary, the TOD. After you create a trust, you'll have the name of the trust, and then you can go in and update your beneficiary designation so that when you pass away, your assets go directly into the trust outside of the probate court and then remain protected from divorcing spouses, lawsuits, whatever, after you pass away. So first is tangible personal property. Second is financial accounts. And then third is real estate. For your real estate, you can either quit claim your property into your trust or create a beneficiary deed. When you create your plan, ask your attorney, does this include funding? To what level do you fund? Do you charge extra for your funding? Is the fee that you quoted include funding? And you want to make sure that funding is included. The fourth asset, which maybe 10% of people have, is a business. If you have a business, whether it's a rental property or another type of business that you run, you may also want to assign that business to the trust as well. The next biggest mistake people make is not updating. How often should an estate plan be updated? Well, you want to make sure that your estate plan is updated anytime there's a major life change, a marriage, a birth, a divorce in your family. Also, if you receive a large asset, you want to update your if you inherit a large asset or sell a business and large assets come in, you want to update your estate plan. This is why these two mistakes, funding and not updating, are some of the most common mistakes that I see. This is why when you work with my firm, number one, we include all the funding, as much of the funding as that we could do as your attorney, we include. For anything we can't do, we will send you instructions for how to take care of that yourself. And number two, not updating is one of the biggest mistakes, which is why we include free lifetime advice for your estate plan after you've created an estate plan with our firm. So any client of ours from the present or the past that has hired us can call us at any time and ask a question about their estate plan, and we are happy to answer that at no charge. The reason being is as our client's life circumstances changes, we want to make sure that their estate plan is kept in line with their goals.
Absolutely. And that number, 720-924-6171, milehighestateplanning.com. So, Blake, what powers of attorney do people – a lot of times we hear the financial and medical. Is that really –
So incapacity planning, there are 4 documents. If you could see me in the radio show, I often look like an airplane. To my left, I reach out one arm. To my right, I reach out the other arm. On the left arm is all of your financial documents, and that's just one. It's a general, durable financial power of attorney. A financial power of attorney says that should you become incapacitated, another individual can step over and make financial decisions on your behalf. You should generally, most clients will list, if they're married, their spouse first, and then one of their adult children as the alternative. I don't recommend listing both of your children as the alternative because that increases the chance that there's a gridlock and that the children then end up having to hire attorneys and fight over your financial power of attorney. So I suggest naming individual, one person at a time, as your financial power of attorney. There are 2 ways to structure your financial power of attorney. There's an immediate financial power of attorney that says, right now, I give my spouse the ability to make financial decisions on me. Or there's a springing one that says, only once I lose capacity can my children take over and make financial decisions on my behalf. So a financial client hire me. Clients come to my office because they want the trust or the will. Clients hire me because they want the asset protection or the trust or the will. However, in my opinion, the most important document you can make is that financial power of attorney, because that is going to avoid the need for a court-supervised conservatorship proceeding, which is going to require annual reporting to the court every single year. If it's too late, if you have a family member who's already lost capacity, we can certainly help with the conservatorship process as well. But an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure. That's certainly true when it comes to creating incapacity planning. So number one document is your financial power of attorney. And then there are three other documents I'm sticking out my right arm now. There are for medical care. The first one is your medical power of attorney. In the event that you lose capacity, you want to make sure that you have a family member who knows your wishes to make medical decisions on your behalf. And you do this by signing a medical power of attorney before you lose capacity. If you pass away, if you become incapacitated and you do not have a medical power of attorney, then you'll need a guardianship, conservatorship for money, guardianship for medical purposes. Again, if you have a family member that did not sign a medical power of attorney in time and you need a guardianship, our firm can help with that process as well. But it's much more economical just to simply have your loved ones, simply to yourself, sign a medical power of attorney. Next is a HIPAA release. HIPAA is a federal law which protects the privacy of your health care. In the event that you become incapacitated, you want your agents to be able to access that protected health care information so that they can share it with doctors and make informed medical decisions. Kurt, before I go to the next document for incapacity planning, would you like to hear my quick HIPAA joke?
Sure.
Sorry, I can't tell you it. and then the third medical document is the living will. In Colorado, this is called the declaration as to medical or surgical treatment. In the event that you are brain dead, in the event that you're in a permanent vegetated state, it's telling the court how you want to be cared for. And for 99% of my clients, that is where they say that they do want to have life support removed if they are in a permanent vegetated state after a period of 7 or so years. In addition to all of your incapacity documents, I highly recommend that you include guidance for your family as to how you want to be treated during your incapacity, which is why for every estate plan that we create, whether it's a simple will, a revocable trust, or some type of asset or Medicaid protection planning package that we put together, we include a supplement called the Mile High Estate Planning Family Guidance Letter. Anyone who's listening to the radio, if you want to send me a text message, 720-924-6171 with your email address, or just go online, send me an email, blake@milehighestateplanning.com or info@milehighestateplanning.com. It's the email address on the website. Send me an email, and I would be more than happy to share with you free of charge our Family Guidance Letter, which is an estate planning supplement where you can outline all of your wishes for how you want to be cared for during your incapacity, if you have any special wishes for your tangible personal property, and any special cremation or burial arrangements, helpful guidance for your family in settling your estate after you pass away.
Wow. Kurt, I tell you, one thing that I was so impressed with when I met Blake is when he just kind of told me how he does these plans. It is a full, complete plan. And that, you know, client, that friend then walks out, and they are covered completely. And, man, that's a great feeling to know when you do that.
I can't imagine going online and trying to pick up just 10% of what he just said.
No, exactly.
You know, and the fact that, and I appreciate this, Blake, that you offer your services lifetime. After somebody starts with you, you just answer their questions. Because as things change, they may, instead of go somewhere else, they'll pick up the phone and call you because you have so much knowledge. And you're not trying to sell everybody on things. You're just trying to say, here's all these things that can affect you. Which piece of this do you want? What works best for you?
If somebody creates an estate plan with me, I sure as heck want that estate plan done and administered properly.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kurt, I tell you, I wish you were here in studio to see, and I'm just going to say, this gentleman does not have one note in front of him, okay? This is in his head, okay? So that's what I want. I don't want somebody that has to be sitting here reading a bunch of stuff out of a notebook, you know? I mean, this is just flowing from his experience and his knowledge. So once again, folks, highly recommend you give him a call. It is a free consultation, 720-924-6171, 720-924-6171, and it's milehighestateplanning.com. So, Blake, a lot of times people feel like, you know, when this comes up, I just don't have enough assets, or I don't have enough, you know, thing stuff. Oh, what do you say to people like that?
It depends on the situation. And again, it's not simply about assets. I've done very simple plans for single mothers that have pretty much no assets, but they want to name a guardian for their minor children. I've worked with families that have more debt than they have assets, but in the event that they pass away, there's some life insurance money that would pay out. And in that situation, there would be a lot of money saved. And I've also worked with older individuals who, again, have very little assets that they're going to pass, but they are concerned either about their pets, who's going to be the one to take care of their pets when they pass away, or who's going to take care of themselves in the event of their own incapacity. They want to make sure that they are the ones choosing their caretakers and not the state, not the government. So we don't work the common misconception is that estate planning is only for the wealthy, or asset protection is only for the super wealthy, and that's simply not true. Estate planning can put just about anyone in a better position from the age of 18 up.
So, Blake, are there some documents that a family should have on a child? Let's say that child goes off to college for the first year or something like that. Are there some documents? Because I think most people think, okay, my spouse dies, something happens to my kids, or my kids think something happens to me. We can just handle it. After all, I'm their child. I'm their spouse.
Sure.
But not as sweet.
Colorado lacks an alternative decision maker statute. Generally, I'd say our laws in Colorado are very well written for the people to make our lives easier, where you don't necessarily have to have an attorney to get everything done. Compare us to Texas, where the laws are written pretty much just to ensure job security of the attorneys. However, Colorado lacks a very important law, which is an alternative decision maker statute, which says that in the event that an individual becomes incapacitated, there is an automatic list of other people who can take over and make financial medical decisions for that. We don't have that in Colorado. So if your 18-year-old child goes off to college and they end up getting themselves hurt and ending up in the hospital, you're going to call the hospital and want to know how they're doing. And if there's not a HIPAA release, if there's not a medical power of attorney on hand, you're not going to get to talk to them and not going to be able to find out what is going on with your child. So yes, I certainly recommend as soon as your children turn 18, have them sign over a power of attorney to you so that you can be aware of their needs in the event that they are injured.
Okay. Kurt, go ahead, sir.
Well, here's a question for you. You got a married couple, and the spouse has a business. He has, you know, let's say several restaurants, and the husband is a fireman. She goes out and does her will because of all the assets that she has, and he does his will. Now, upon his death, his will says everything goes to her. But upon her death, now all these assets are now going to come into the husband's will. Is there something that needs to be set up in the co-spouse that doesn't have the assets at the time that may inherit the assets upon the spouse's death? Do you follow me?
So I'm going to kind of explore this. I'm going to twist your hypothetical a little bit because I think it's going to be a little bit more relevant to the listeners. A lot of what I get, I'd probably say maybe the majority of my clients are blended families, meaning at least one of the parents has a stepchild.
Right.
And what a married couple often wants is they want to make sure that when they pass away, their spouse is provided for. They want their spouse to continue to be able to live comfortably in the family home. However, they don't necessarily want that home to pass to their spouse's children if they don't share children with that spouse. So what we can do is we can create up a trust for that couple if one of them has more assets than the other that allows the surviving spouse to continue to live safely in the home as long as they occupy that home as their primary residence. They can live there rent-free. But then upon their own passing, then instead of the money passing to their spouse's family, the money passes down to their own children. And you can do that with a marital trust that will provide for the surviving spouse, but then it will pass down to your own children. Does that get at what you were asking, or do you want to maybe ask that one more time?
No. It's the same basic thing. So you can build inside several different types of trust inside a trust. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes, exactly. Generally, I don't have my clients for estate planning purposes sign more than one trust document. However, that trust could spit out a dozen other trusts depending on the number of beneficiaries and the size of the estate and the goals of that client.
So if there's an if come maybe, like you're talking about the disability or the asset protection, if these things come to play, it will activate that portion of the trust.
So, yes, exactly. The standby special needs trust only becomes active if a beneficiary is qualified to receive government benefits. And the asset protection provisions are only used if this child gets divorced. Generally, though, I do recommend upon a client passing away, creating a separate trust for each of the children, or having the initial trust dictate that separate trusts are created. The reason being is we don't want all the children pulling from the same fund and children growing resentful that one is going to private college while the other one's going to public college. Separate the trust funds into separate pools so each child has their own trust that they can pull from without growing resentment among the siblings.
Yeah, because one of the things, and again, like I said earlier, that I've seen with families is why you think everything is smooth when you're alive. When you're gone, things can get really ugly, so you don't want to kind of add fuel to the fire. You want to kind of teach them that we're going to separate this out, and this is how I want it to work.
Sure, and a very important tip for any listeners is don't tell your children what they're receiving before you pass away. Too often, parents will promise the mountain condom to too many of the children, and the children all think it's theirs, and they all go and lawyer up, and instead of the money passing to the children, it just goes to a bunch of different attorneys. What you want to do is tell your children that they're not going to get anything, and then when you pass away and they actually get something, they'll be relieved that you end up getting anything.
Yeah, make them believe you got nothing. That always works.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good asset protection strategy, too.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Blake Harris has been our guest for this hour. 720-924-6171, milehighestateplanning.com is the number. So, Blake, just take the last minute and a half here. And just kind of, there's a lot of people that, when I say do what you do, I just mean simply say they do estate plans. But what makes Mile High Estate Planning different?
So, for one, this is all we focus on. Me and the team of attorneys, I'm not a sole practitioner. I have two other attorneys as well as an excellent support staff that's even smarter than me that works for Mile High Estate Planning. So you get a small team that is there to accomplish your estate planning goals. We're not in the business of selling trusts. We're in the business of understanding your unique circumstances, tailoring a plan that meets your needs, and then going on and servicing that plan in a way that will make you happy. However, don't take my word for it that you're going to be happy with our services. Google Mile High Estate Planning and read our reviews. We have over 50 Google reviews. Every single one is a 5-star review. Then go on our website, watch some of our videos, read some of our articles, learn a little bit about it if you'd like. And then when you're ready, contact us. We'll get back to you right away and schedule a free consultation where we can learn more about your unique situation. At that consultation, there's not going to be any pressure to move forward. You're not required to hire us then. You're not required to hire us at any time. However, I can pretty much guarantee you that in that meeting, you will get something valuable for it. You will get some valuable guidance. You'll get some valuable information that is tailored to your individual needs.
Absolutely. Well, Kurt, thank you so much for sponsoring our show today, and thanks for being with us as well, sir.
Well, you guys all be safe and healthy.
You too,
Kurt. All right, you too, bud. Again, that's Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage, and Blake, man, great information. And we're going to do some more of these, folks. We want to keep you up to date on what you need. MileHighEstatePlanning.com. Give him a call, 720-924-6171. So, Blake, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. All right. Fun times.
Everyone have a great rest of your day and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.